Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
The senior crew with you here for Senior Moments. Jaguars and Buccaneers practicing on Monday. Brian Sexton, senior writer John Osier, Joe Fortunato alongside here for a little podcast. Let's start with the injuries, because Saturday after practice, would have said, man, pretty healthy team.
Yep.
Sunday after practice, it is not good to see guys like Marquise Lee and Leonard Fournette not on the field, because
right,
those are guys you're counting on. 11 and 27, you figured, okay, we know what they are.
Well, and let's not go too far, because it's preseason injuries, and there are worse preseason injuries. There
right,
are out for the season things, and that's not what these are. Marquise Lee, everything feels like questionable early season, meaning week one, but it certainly doesn't sound like a 16-gamer, which when he went down, boy, that's what you thought. So a sigh of relief more than anything about Marquise Lee.
Yeah, when he went down and they grabbed the air cast. Now, I know that's a precaution. They
right,
take that out there. But I thought, well, here you go. Guy who played 16 games last
and
year.
And felt awful for him.
Didn't have to answer those questions all summer long.
Right.
And all of a sudden now, here's an injury. When I heard that it was the high ankle sprain, which, by the way, is being reported outside the building.
Sure.
The Jaguars give you, let's diverge for 1 minute.
Sure.
The Jaguars' philosophy is to say nothing about injuries. And they're not alone. There are a lot of teams
right,
that do that. Not everybody, but a lot of teams. So a lot of what we're going to talk about today and our companions in the media and in media functions will have to speculate, because they will not give you details. And when they don't give you details, they know that you have to speculate. So that's what we're doing here.
Right. Our best
our best guess.
And again, when you see Marquise come off the field the way he did, initial concern, not as concerning. Best possible news, I think, was a high ankle sprain.
My hope was it was a broken fibula, you know, tibula, the small bone in the lower leg.
Sure.
I'm thinking, if that's it, maybe he can be back before the end of the season. When I heard high ankle sprain, I thought,
static.
Man, did they get lucky.
Right, exactly. So good for him. And I think one thing quickly on Marquise, let's separate this from the first couple of years, because this is not,
you
quote,
can't do
unquote,
much about this.
Fragile, soft tissue, tweaky things. This is during play, fast stuff. As you said, nothing conditioning-wise, whatever, could have been done about this. This is a tough break. This is not the same thing as he dealt with the first 2 years.
I had heard yesterday from a couple of people that they weren't really worried about the Fournette thing. It truly was a sense of caution on their part.
Mm-hmm.
People that I trust, so I believed it. Today I saw him walking on the practice field just wearing sneakers, didn't have a boot on the foot. So I felt a little better about that.
Sure.
Although I understand this is an injury that, with a running back, man, you're
like
worried
hearing
about
running
this.
Back foot early season. Absolutely be cautious with it, because there's a handful of guys on this team and in that position, reps, preseason, whatever. I don't care about them. I know Fournette's going to be able to play, and the difference when the lights go on is going to be so much different than preseason anyway. There's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. Get him healthy, have him healthy. But when it's your first round pick and it's a foot with a running back, it's something that's going to be asked about every day, and it's going to be written about at least in note fashion every day. It's a concern until it's not.
The quarterback. Yes.
Who is also a concern until it's not.
Yeah. And we heard from Doug today that it is a sore arm, which is, you know, why you figure a guy goes into pitch count. He doesn't go into pitch count because he's, hey, my arm feels great.
Right.
You know, coach, let me just take a little less of this. He's saying, hey, it's sore, feeling it. Now, yesterday when they pulled him out of 7-on-7 and Chad took the reps with the ones, Doug was quick to point out it's not a result of the interceptions. I'm going to just say it didn't feel that way. As I watched it, it didn't feel that way. It felt like this is the head coach saying that is unacceptable.
Well, here's where we're at with it. There's it just seems like, boy, he pulled him because he had two picks early in practice. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The overarching issue here, or arching, however you say it.
Tomato, potato.
Yeah,
right.
Is that Blake has been so inconsistent during training camp that any time you pulled him and didn't give him first team reps for whatever reason, there was legitimate speculation on why it was. So I don't, there's no way to ever get completely inside Marone's head. He's sure not going to share it if he did pull him for the reasons of ineffectiveness, but he has been inconsistent enough and thrown enough interceptions where it gives legitimate cause to believe that that's why it is. And so regardless of what really was his thinking, he has been inconsistent, poor at times, good at other times, enough to where the question is legitimate, and that's a problem.
Well, look, that's it.
Right?
That's the problem. No. That is ultimately it, is that the quarterback has not distinguished himself enough to get us away from, here's what Blake did today, and we think it was good, bad, or indifferent.
If he had been great during training camp, then
the sore arm thing would absolutely be unquestioned.
It'd be a blip.
Right.
It would be, oh, I pulled him for a sore arm. Sure he did.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Why not?
But that's not where we're at.
But the fact that he struggled means it's not. So, again, I don't know that we'll ever know exactly why he pulled him yesterday. But I don't blame people for thinking that it was because of two picks, because there's been two picks too much.
That's it. And I didn't watch the offense exclusively. Like you probably, I went back and forth between the Jaguars offense and the Bucs defense and vice versa. Spent a little bit more time with the defense because I wanted to see Jameis Winston. And I wanted to see how he's throwing the ball and the way that things are going there and how the Jaguars defended against it.
Which I thought they did pretty good.
Yeah.
No, Jameis.
The defense did pretty well today. I didn't get enough of a look to see. I know this. He did better today than he did yesterday.
Blake.
Yes. And so it worked. I mean, I'm assuming it worked. That pulling him out, sore arm, or just the fact that two interceptions, it's not going to be tolerated. It's just not. And I think that, I don't think you can convince me otherwise. So I think it worked. It was a smart move on Doug's part. And I think, in my conversation with Doug before last week's telecast of the game, I got the sense that, hey, look, everyone on this team is going to be held accountable. The turnovers are not acceptable.
I don't think there's any question about that. And people always want to know how long is the leash. That's always the thing.
Not
you get.
Long.
You get that with the Jason Myers missing field goals. You get that with, you know, and the leash question is always specifically with Blake, because that's what everybody wants to know about. But I think the leash question is with everybody on this team, right? This is going to be, if anything, I think they will be over quick to pull guys because they want that established. That's the nature of these guys. They are going to perhaps err so far on the side of hey, we're not going to tolerate these mistakes. They're sure not going to wait too long, I guess is my point.
You know, this is a team that's won one game in September in the last 4 years. One. I think they're 1-11 in September.
Miami here, right?
It's the only one they've won. And when you look at the schedule and the way that it's set up, you've got to make some hay early here if you want to be in the conversation. Just in the conversation after Thanksgiving, being able to say, you know, if they win this and this happens, then they're still in it. If you want to get there, and in this division, that's not out of the realm of possibility. You can't afford the turnovers, the pick sixes, the falling behind in September.
Right.
I don't think there's any question Blake Bortles is a starting quarterback on opening day here. But I don't know that he's going to stay in the lineup all that long if he can't control the turnovers.
Yeah, and a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, not only to stay in it do they need to win in September, but they need to win in September because this is a new thing. This is Doug Marone, Tom Coughlin. We saw last two games of last season improved play under Doug Marone. But with a new coach, especially with a disciplined approach, with a tough physical approach, you need some success early. The worst thing that can happen to a new regime, whether it's a tough regime or a less tough, which people, you know, Gus Bradley was a less tough regime, early losses are never good for a regime because then you've got players saying, oh, what's going on here? This is not really what we signed. So you want to win just for that. The worry with Blake is and this is so obvious, but to overstate, he has still good stretches. Like today, he had some good stretches, but yet there's that one pass. The very first pass, he's intercepted. And yeah, it was a tip. But
with him, the tips are generally off target.
Right. Every couple, this is such, to borrow a phrase from Gus Bradley, who used to talk about this being a precision league.
Yeah.
Well, on that front, he was right. You know, this is a league where you can play well as a quarterback 95% of the plays, but if you've got that one where all of a sudden you're going back the other way at the wrong time, oof, I mean, and that's what's got to be avoided early in September. That's the tragic button early in September, is if you see in game, I mean, I'm not talking at the end of games, that there's a pick six the other way that's already over, whatever. Right. But that second quarter pick six where you had a chance to go into halftime down three and now you're down 10, I don't think he'll be starting quarterback very long if those happen.
It all boils down to this for me. On Saturday, you and I were standing out in the practice field, and I said to you, wow, that's four, five, six, where he hit receivers in stride. In other words, the ball placement was perfect, which we don't see from him that often. Mm-hmm. I just alluded to the fact that you go and look at some of the interceptions last year, and what you see is the ball's behind the receiver. He's reaching for it. It hits his hand, caroms up into the air, and is an easy pick six. Yep. I can think of three right off the top of my head that happened as a result of that. But on Saturday, he's putting the ball on the mark. Marquise right a couple basket. Of times. A-Rob, Ben Koyak, right? He's getting the ball where it needs to be. So I'm anticipating watching him on Sunday thinking, all right, we're going to see what this guy is.
And he had a couple that you just couldn't figure out what he was doing with the ball.
Exactly.
And if that's practice, the case, they're not going to tolerate that. That's not, you know, those have to be driven out of you.
Yeah, and we'll see whether that gets there. Anything to say about the linebackers? Doug clarified it a bit today.
Well, I think
Miles Jack was outside yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly sounds as, you know, they're going to work this week with Miles on the outside back where he was. Clearly, Poslesny, the middle guy in base. And when they're in nickel, it's going to be Miles and Telvin Smith. But I think something will have to change for that not to be what it is going forward. That's what they're doing this week. And then Doug said, yeah, we're just trying to evaluate. Well, I know what Pos is in the middle.
Pretty good.
So there's really nothing to really judge or evaluate. You know what he is. So if they're going back to that, I don't see what would get them to go back to Miles in the middle immediately if they're going back to Pos in the middle now in base. Doug has been very specific a couple of times when he's talked about it. Miles played well the other night. Well, if you're making this move to put Pos in base, then Miles had to have played well in the nickel. They like Miles in the middle. I mean, they like Miles in the nickel with Telvin, but I think your base is going to be Pos in the middle, Miles on the outside, and Telvin on the outside at weak.
Well, here's the thing that Doug said today, and he has said consistently about all positions. They're looking for the best three linebackers, right. Best five offensive linemen, best seven defensive linemen. They're looking to see what the best combination is. Clearly, they think Poslesny back in the middle gives them the best combination.
Well,
maybe clearly isn't the case yet.
Right, and you know, again, I don't want to portray it like that's what Dave said. I mean, that's what Doug said, but they moved Pos back to the middle for a reason, and I don't anticipate Pos playing poorly to lose it.
Right.
So I don't know what could happen to have Miles win it back in the short term.
Right.
So that's where I think they're staying with it.
We'll see what this team does over the next couple of days. Obviously, they've got another day with the Bucks, and then the game on Thursday night. I wouldn't anticipate seeing Jalen Ramsey, right?
Oh,
AJ Boye.
Boye, maybe. But he's working this week.
Okay.
Ramsey, I don't think there's any way you rush him back into a game.
No, Fournette.
Right. No, Doug said today he didn't bang the table with it.
And there's no reason. Is there anyone else you don't want to see?
Oh, I don't necessarily want to see Calais, but I think we will. I'd like to see Calais in and out. I think we know what he can do. A lot of guys, you know what they can do. They'll play Telvin. I don't need to see Telvin anymore to know what he can do. He's fine. Linder, I know what he can do. But I think everybody else will play. But I don't think there's any reason to push guys if you know what they can do at this time.
Thanks for your time.
All right, Brian.
Senior Moments with senior writer John Osier, senior correspondent Brian Sexton, just plain senior producer Joe. Nothing plain about you, Joe. See you, folks.